Welcome to the Advance Your Art podcast, where we talk about the journey from artist to entrepreneur and everything in between. You've worked hard to hone your craft. Now take it to the next level with tips, techniques, strategies, and routines used by successful artists to grow their businesses and careers. Now, let's get started and have some fun with your host, Yuri Cataldo.
Podcast. I'm your host, Yuri Cataldo. In today's episode, we'll be interviewing the Juilliard-trained actor, Jesse Wilson. And no, Jesse does not call it the Juilliard like that. That's just something that I do because I picked up when I was there and I think it's pretty funny. Jesse was born and raised in Hollywood and he began acting at a very early age and hasn't stopped since. Now he's living his greatest role, which is helping people discover the confidence in their voices by using the obstacles in their own lives through the power of theater. But I will let him tell you more about that in our interview. So without further ado, I give you the wonderfully talented Juilliard actor, Jesse Wilson. So if we were to meet at a party, how would you introduce yourself?
What's up, babe? No, So if somebody were to, you know, come up to me in a party and what do? Strangers at a party, that whole thing. You could say that my technical title is that I'm a communications effectiveness and self-development trainer. And that's a very dry way of saying that I help people remove the mask. And when you remove the mask, a greater story, a greater sense of self, a greater life purpose will emerge.
Oh, that's good. I like that. So if I were to meet you at a party, you would say that you, hi, my name is Jesse. I remove the mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Often,
and you know, I'll make sure that they see the ring on my finger and let them know that I'm not being sleazy.
I appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. But that's really it. You know, we all wear masks. We all have these ideas or these warped perceptions, I believe, of ourselves. And when we're able to get beyond that, then we're really, really firing on all cylinders and that life gets really, really interesting. And essentially what I do is I help people discover what I call their greater story. And Lessons from the Stage, the program that I've developed based upon over 20 years of working in the theater, is the essential first step to help you remove that mask and access your true power in every area of your life.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Actually, before we get to Lessons from the Stage, I want, if I can, take you back a little bit earlier in that. So the early days. So obviously you're a classically trained actor. What got you interested in acting?
I got interested in acting, gosh, before I think I even have any memory of anything else, honestly. I began acting, doing commercials, theater, voiceover at a very, very early age. And I grew up in the acting industry, which helped my dad as a commercial director, photographer. My mom is a writer in advertising, and everybody I knew was somehow associated with the industry. I grew up in Hollywood, literally 5 minutes from the Hollywood sign. And so acting, becoming other people was almost a natural thing for me. So that was sort of the blessing and the curse at the same time, because becoming other people was, but the one role that I really needed to be good at was the man in the mirror. And so your question, I like your, I will then ask for your origin story. I like the phrasing of that, your origin story, because there's a lot of different roads that lead to the origin story or the pivotal story, that turning point for me. And you asked about my time at Juilliard and then what I did after. You know, basically I was about to graduate from the world's greatest acting school, and I was terrified. And I gave it basically an Academy Award winning performance trying to look like I wasn't terrified. And I was 22 years old. I was confused and angry, and acting for me, all the parts had always come easy. And now all of a sudden I'm off in this playing a new role, which was like, I don't know how to play this role. And the role of being in relationships, the role of trying to make a living. And what was my voice? And what was it I really wanted to say or be? And I really had no idea. And I'd gotten this prestigious degree from the best acting school in the world. I was great at playing a ton of different roles, and old men and wise men and crazy men and killers. But I was completely unprepared and unprepared for the role that I really needed to be good at. And that was myself. So life basically came in crashing like this enormous dark wave. And I got swallowed up in it. So life for me after Juilliard was certainly not the life that I thought I was going to be living after Juilliard. And that is really what formed the basis for Lessons from the Stage.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, so let's talk about that then. So I know that, so you just did a TED Talk. Was that like 6 months ago, 9 months ago?
That was in October.
In October, okay. Excellent. So yeah, so I really want to talk more about Lessons from the Stage, especially you talk a lot about, you know, running toward obstacles and overcoming obstacles, which I think all artists and actually just people in general have a problem with obstacles and running away from that and fear. So how did you come up with the idea of running toward an obstacle and overcoming it that way?
Well, what I talk about in the TED Talk, everything really came to light as a result of working with inmates in prison. That's what really, really shed light on the transformational power of the arts and what it could really, really do for people when they desperately needed to change something in their life. And this went way beyond entertainment. They had a choice and they had the ability to change it. And that's where the tools of the theater came into play, so to speak. But to go back to what I think I was talking about a little bit earlier, is that I created Lessons from the Stage because I desperately needed it. You know, they say that you teach what you need to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I needed my own fix. I needed to find a way of living in this life that could still give me something that would fulfill me creatively, financially, personally, in relationships, everything. And so, you know, I got tired of wearing the mask. And of course, let's define the mask. What is it? It's fear. Old ideas, old belief systems, old conditioning, wiring, and you name any other destructive mental, physical habit that you want to throw into that. That's the mask. And the mask got really, really heavy and very cumbersome and exhausting to wear. And for a long while, and here's the scary part, I forgot I was even wearing the mask. When you forget that you've been wearing the mask, then you're really screwed. Fortunately, I experienced enough pain to help me remove the mask. And that's the key. And, you know, what I was saying earlier is when you remove the mask, your greatest self emerges. And this is the lesson of pain. And what I call the opportunity in the obstacle. The obstacle is the opportunity. So the very first thing they teach you in acting class, when you approach the scene or the monologue, really comes down to two main questions. The first question is, what do you want? And that's called intention. And the second question is, what is getting in the way of what you want? And that's called the obstacle. And these are powerful questions if you're approaching the scene or the monologue, but they're also, if you apply them to life, if you take away the acting idea out of that, they're quite possibly two of the most important questions that a person needs to address for themselves in waking up to living an authentic life. And there is actually intense power behind this idea of the obstacle. And, you know, show me a great movie, play, novel, I'll show you a great obstacle. And it comes mm-hmm. back to the power of conflict. So the lessons from the stage help drop that mask that are brought into the theater and strip away the painful patterns and those old ideas that form the mold of our masks and open the door for our greater purpose. And this is what a healthy conversation with fear might look like when you're getting to the heart of your story. You're saying, all right, man, I got you. What do you want to tell me? I'm listening now. You suck. I hate you, but I'm listening to you. I love you, but I hate you. I love you. Thank you for opening my eyes to that. Great, I can use that. I really can. So, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is that if you could become fascinated with your fear instead of running away from it, if you can condition yourself to say, okay, what's behind that barbed wire fence? Then you got something going on. And I think that most of us want to judge fear because we're uncomfortable. We want to say that's a bad thing. That shouldn't be happening. But if we can pause, if we can get ourselves in a space just long enough to go, okay, what else can this be? What else is going on there? Mm-hmm. Then I believe that we have the basis of something that can be very, very powerful. If we're willing to look at it and condition ourselves to develop the tools to ask questions rather than going, oh, I can't be dealing with that. So that's what I teach. And that is the obstacle is the opportunity.
Okay. Excellent. That's wonderful. In order for you to come up with what you teach right now, you had to be incredibly self-aware. And most people are not that self-aware of realizing, you know, that you're going through all these difficulties, that you were physically, you know, that you were wearing a mask in your real life. How did you, like, were there philosophies you read or seminars, or how did you become so self-aware, or is that inherent in acting training?
I can give you a million different answers that would make me sound really profound, but I'll give it to you in a nutshell. I got my ass handed to me.
Okay. Ass handed to you, I guess, in what way?
Well, let me give you a story.
Okay.
I didn't make up this story. I think it might, I don't know where I got it. It might've been from like a cartoon strip in the New Yorker, but a spiritual seeker finally meets the wise man, the holy man. He's sitting in his lotus position. And the seeker says to the wise holy man, what is the answer? How do you find enlightenment? How did you find enlightenment? I want to do what you did. And the wise man looks down and he says, I screwed up a lot. You know, you can put any expletive you want in there, but that's the idea. And I,
sure.
You know, we don't want to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
None of us do. So we find a way that works for us. And so when you call it the self-awareness, instead of running, I looked within, not in a gross actor narcissistic way, hopefully, but a way that could help me navigate the waters of life and live on life's terms rather than fighting reality so much. And it's almost paradoxical that I return back to the thing that I started with, which was the theater. It was there all along. I just didn't see it. I always thought that the theater was just for something that you could put on stage and, you know, clap your hands and leave, but that these tools were universal. And, you know, again, I needed to find something that could work for me. And then what works for me, what I understand it the most when I'm able to help others discover their greater story. And that's how it works. To keep it, you got to give it away.
Sure, sure.
So okay. This was nothing that I was ever taught formally. This came all about as a result after graduating.
Okay. Life's lessons and looking within. Okay. I know that you work with students and children and a bunch of other people. What is it that you're taking all your lessons, and what are you teaching the students, and how do you give them these kind of lessons without having them have to go through that struggle that you did?
Sure. Well, you know, Lessons from the Stage, it's a program that's accessible to fit the needs of a vast amount of people in all professions, because it's a program that allows you to be more authentic human being, that, you know, uninhibited and unshackled by your own personal limitations, i.e. fear. Once we get beyond fear by using fear intentionally, then the sky's the limit. The core of Lessons from the Stage focuses on the human being before the title. And from that point, the playing field of success is redefined, and the floodgates of possibility in your life are now wide open for you to choose a life that I believe you're more than capable of performing. So whether it's working with artists on the verge of discovering their voice, you know, that feeling, it's really exciting, or badly in need of strengthening, reinforcing their voice. Okay, I know my voice, and now, you know, what do I do with it? Or whether it's working with inmates or teachers. I'm working a lot with trialers now, which is awesome. Or stay-at-home moms, therapists, counselors, CEOs, you name it. Lessons from the stage goes right to the first step, and that's to release your inhibitions. Okay, what am I bringing to the stage? And how do I help people regain this power? And that's the time-tested tools of the theater.
Are you mostly working with groups? Do you work one-on-one? What's the best platform for this that you have found?
The best platform right now currently is through the Lessons from the Stage intensives. They've been going on for the last 2 years, and that's with the exception of May, because May just seems to be an odd month for a lot of people. These have been two-day intensives, two-weekend intensives, and that is where I've generated the greatest amount of response. And from there, I've been able to work with individual groups and one-on-one coaching sessions. So these, you can almost look at them as mini seminars. Some are bigger, some are smaller. I try to keep them under about 20, within about 20 people. So I'm able to really, really get the hands-on work that is required for people to make the massive change in their life. And that's the whole idea, is that you go in there with an idea and you drop that idea and bam, something hopefully emerges, or at least a seed is planted. But yeah, I would say primarily the work that I've been doing has been through the Lessons from the Stage intensives. Now, that being said, I mentioned the trial lawyer thing. I'm going off next week. I'm doing a whole Lessons from the Stage with an entire law firm in Florida and helping them tell the winning story. And in order to tell the winning story, you got to be able to look at your storytelling instrument, and that's you. So, and that came about as a result through a one-on-one coaching that came about as a result of working, of having one of these trial lawyers attend one of my intensives. So it's just cool, the relationships that blossom from these events.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Telling your story and looking within, what are some of the exercises you have people do in general that allow them to really look at who they are on the inside and then be able to change that?
Okay, well, one of the questions that you asked me was, and I love this question, and it's so simple, but it's so powerful, is how do you overcome fear? Well, there's a lot of different techniques and a lot of different ways of doing that, but you become fascinated by your fear, by using it. You overcome your fear by becoming fascinated by using it and seeing it almost as if it were a river taking you to where you need to be. And I came across a quote recently, and it was by the dancer Martha Graham, and she's talking about modern dance. And she said that the Navajo women, when they wove their blankets, always left a flaw to let the soul out. And one of the primary tools that I work with is the monologue. And it's particularly, that quote is particularly true in monologues, I think, because that's when you're right on the pulse of character. And if the writing is too controlled and the images are too lush, you're not letting the soul out, so to speak. And I came across another quote. I love great quotes, as you can tell, from an interview with the playwright Tina Howe, and Howe. And she says that everywhere in art and life, you find so many rich examples of freedom in the flaws. That's what she said. Freedom in the flaws, in the cracks, in the broken spaces, behind the walls and the angry voices of opposition. So the work that I do with the monologue is about conditioning your mind and your eye to look deeper and identify the gift and take action. So to answer your question, the monologue is a perfect vehicle for that, because it allows for you to take complete and total ownership of your storytelling instrument, and that's you. And there are four main steps that I work with in the monologue. And the first one is, who are you talking to? The second one is, what do you want? Again, intention. The third one is, what is getting in the way of what you want? And that's the obstacle. And the fourth one is, what's the big change? What's the emotional journey? within that structure, within the monologue structure, I go through a myriad of different improvisational situations and role reversals, nonverbal and verbal exercises. I work a lot with the white mask, which is a wonderful storytelling tool because it allows you to embody story without using your face, without using your words, not like a dancer or a mime. I work with visual arts. I work with music. So all these techniques go back to breaking down the old script and stepping into a new story.
Wonderful. Now, when you say the monologue, is this a monologue that, like, is it a scripted monologue? Like, are they reading Shakespeare, or is this something that you have written or they have written?
The best way to do it is to write your own monologue. Now, to get there, yeah, they go through. I don't necessarily, unless they're really well-versed in monologues, I don't scare them with Shakespeare. They'd be like, oh, my God, get me out of here. So I'll choose more accessible monologues from, yeah, plays, contemporary plays, some classics, but just so that they can understand, students, attendees of the workshops and intensives can understand the process of the monologue and how it works. So they're learning the dance, they're learning the language, learning the form and the approach. And we spend a lot of time with the text that I already give them so that now they have a launching pad to get to their own original monologue. And that monologue is based upon the attendee identifying what is the pain, what is the struggle, so that I can get to what I call the stretch. And the stretch is that greater story. What is the profound lesson? What life can I be living? What is that glimpse that I can make real in my life? And then the monologue breathes fire into that opportunity. It's a very, very exciting thing when that happens. So it's not necessarily that students are up there writing confessionals, although some people really, really, hey, this is exactly what happened to me, and that's the monologue that I want to write about. What I tell them is identify something that is strong and believable to you, and then script it any way you want. You can be an alien on another planet for all I care, as long as that gets you to the emotional truth that you're trying to express in your life.
Oh, sure. That it reminds me, when I was in grad school, there was this program at Yale called the Dwight Edgewood Project, and we would work with students, like underprivileged students in the local area, and they would write plays for 2 weeks. And these plays were some of the rawest, most real things I had ever experienced on the stage, because it was like you're looking at these students who are, you know, pretending to be baseball players or something, but the words that come out of them are like what they really feel about their parents or their friends and how they, like, just their true humanity. And it was something that's truly beautiful. I can imagine that you have something probably very similar.
Yeah, I would love to know more about that project. That sounds great.
Yeah, they do. It's, oh yeah, after this I'll email you. It was quite called,
yeah,
Dwight Edgewood, and there's another project they do in New York. I forget what it's called, but yeah, I'll definitely let you know after this.
Yeah, well, that's great. I mean, so exactly, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this approach is exactly what I did with the inmates. This is what one of my big bucket lists for fall of 2015, and it looks like it's going to be happening, is starting to work with military groups, with working with vets. So it's really, really powerful. And a lot of people have a lot of fear when you mention theater. Oh my gosh, I got to be brilliant, I got to be performing. But you know, the funny thing is, and I could say this with full confidence, is that with the exception, I think, of, I'm looking at this here, maybe one or two people, 90% of the people I've worked with have had little to no experience in theater whatsoever. You would never know it. You would never know it. You walk in there going, holy crap, the stuff that's coming out of them. And then you see the looks on their faces going, the stuff is coming out of me. I can't believe, you know, it's great.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So if people want to hear more about your workshops and what you do, is there a website to go or a way to contact you?
Yeah, best way to find out about what I'm doing is through my website. It's
okay.
LFTstage.com.
Okay, up to you. Okay, great. And then I'd like to do some quick little rapid-fire questions to end this.
Fire away.
All right, so what is your favorite or most gifted book?
Catcher in the Rye.
Actually, Catcher in the Rye, excellent. I read that a lot when I was a kid. I probably, like every other adolescent, I was like, yeah, I'm totally Holden Caulfield when I was, I think, 16.
You know, I don't know what it, I know, you know, all the thing about Holden Caulfield and all that, but the, yeah, that book, I knew that I would have a deep connection with, so I purposely, like, didn't study it in school, and English was my favorite subject, and I got an F in the assignment because I didn't want to be in the classroom, and my parents were like, what are you doing? And my teacher's like, what are you doing? And I just, I don't know, I think I might have read a passage of it earlier, enough for me to go, I knew I'm going to love this book, and I didn't want it to be tainted by school, which is a total Holden Caulfield-esque kind of thing to do. Right? So right. Then I read it later, and that book saved me through hours and hours of loneliness and deprivation, and it was like my lifeline.
Mm-hmm. I understand completely on that one. Okay.
Cool.
When you hear the word successful, who comes to mind and why?
You know, Bono from U2, man, the guy is constantly reinventing himself. He's possibly the greatest performer of all time, I think, which is a bold statement. I've seen him. He's amazing. And everything he does goes right back to the story of the world. He's a total humanitarian. He's got the money to back it up, but he's a rock star. He's all over the place, and his music moves me. So, I mean, to me, that's success.
That's great. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right, if you could give yourself one piece of advice when you were first starting out, what would it be?
Don't take myself so damn seriously.
Okay, that's good. I like it. All right, what is one thing that you believe that everybody should do before they die?
Something that terrifies them.
Okay. I mean, it terrifies them. And then lastly,
long as it doesn't hurt others. Maybe I should put that as a disclaimer.
Okay. Something yeah. Non-disruptive to other people, but that terrifies yeah. them. And that takes them beyond their comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I mean, and that could come in whatever form. It could be skydiving. It could be running naked in a strip mall. it could be performing a monologue in front of 100 people.
Excellent. All right. I like it. I always, there's, it's the writer and personal guinea or self guinea pig, Tim Ferriss, always talks about in some of his books that he believes you're the sum total of the uncomfortable situations you're willing to be in or conversations you're willing to have.
I love that.
Yeah. And that's, I think this is a great kind of segue in that with. And then lastly, I want you to give our listeners a little bit of a challenge. One thing they should do today that will get them out of their comfort zone.
Okay. My advice is to share with a large group of people a teachable moment in your life, current or not current, and don't justify it. But then follow up with what you have learned from it. And if you're not comfortable with that one, then do something outrageous like doing that dance thing on Ellen.
What's the dance thing on Ellen?
You videotape yourself dancing behind somebody.
So go in a little bit more about that. So somebody like has their camera across the room or something, and they just video you dancing behind someone who doesn't know you're there.
Yeah, I think that's great. I absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if they turn around and they're shocked, somehow try to find a way of including them in the dance. My stepdaughter and I do this. We'll pull up next to people who look like they will never dance, and we challenge them to dance with us. And then we videotape it. We've been doing that for a while. It's like our fun Friday night thing together. We'll get ice cream and get old people to dance with us. But so, you know, that is certainly going out of your comfort zone. But if you're not comfortable with that, then go back to the first one, which is everybody works. You'll be around people. Let's say it's not necessarily coworkers. Maybe it's just your friends. Share with them a teachable moment. In other words, I was wrong. Don't justify it. You simply say, I was wrong. And this is what I learned. And this is what I applied. This is also what I call making a perfect mistake.
I like that. That's good. I think that's a great way to end our segment. So thank you very much, Jesse. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about what you're working on. Again, if people want to hear more about you and what you do, how can they find you?
Best way to go is to my website, lftstage.com, lftstage.com, or they can contact me on my email address, jessekwilson@gmail.com.
Jesse K. Wilson. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jesse. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Yuri.
Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Advancer Art Podcast. If you truly enjoy this, please head over to iTunes and download additional interviews, as well as hit the subscribe button so that as new episodes come out, they will automatically go to your phone. Also, while you're there, please give us a 5-star rating, which helps our iTunes rankings. If you'd like to see more information, head on over to advanceyourart.com, where you can find information about each of the guests, as well as projects that I am working on. And always, if you're in the Boston area, please feel free to reach out. I can be found on Twitter at @YCataldo, or you can email me, Yuri@advanceyourart.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day.